This is Margaret Cho, and you're listening to The Bicast, podcasting for the bisexual community.
Good. Welcome to The Bicast, podcasting for the bisexual community. We are speaking with J. Christopher Neal, Director of Youth Programs and Initiatives at Coral New York Leadership Center, artist, writer, activist, and founder of Fluid by Design Minkind, a support and advocacy community for people of African descent, who has the distinction of being the first openly bi-identified Grand Marshal in the New York Pride Parade. Welcome.
Thank you.
So you're a very busy person. Can you talk about some of your work a bit?
Yeah, so for the last almost 20 years since I've been in New York, I've been doing youth development work, primarily focused in leadership training for youth, for teens. And so I started, when I got to New York, I was doing arts education because I'm a painter. So I, you know, in order to, I think it started off as being like the work I was doing to keep the lights on in my studio. And I fell in love with working with young people and was doing, you know, arts education with the Studio Museum of Harlem. And then I ran a program at the Whitney Museum and worked a little bit at the MoMA. And then I started doing integrated arts curriculums for public schools. Then I left that work, took a little hiatus, and got hired at Coral New York Leadership Center to do leadership training. And I've been here for the last 9 years. So what we do is basically we partner with the DOE, Department of Education here, and other city agencies to integrate participatory youth voice into their practices by creating youth councils. So the ideal is that the institutions will be more responsive to the constituencies that they serve, and where they serve youth constituencies, they should have youth voice involved. So that's really the basis of my work.
That's fantastic.
And how many schools actually have these programs in New York City?
So at the moment, we're involved in a partnership with NYC Service, which is New York's service arm of AmeriCorps. And their 2014-2015 strategic plan calls for 30,000 young people, which is 10% of the population of young people, involved in either youth leadership or service. So we've been working in partnership with this agency to develop, first of all, youth councils through the DOE, and then also working within schools. So I can't give you an exact number of how many schools, because we're in partnership with a few different agencies, a few different youth-serving agencies. But we have a very, very big goal of 30,000 young people by 2017, so we're on the move.
That is really good to hear. And you kind of answered my question already, my next one. And you're mainly focused on the youth, is that correct?
Yeah. I mostly do youth development work. I mean, I've worked with, youth is a broad category, so that's anywhere from 14 to 24, actually. But my focus group is 14 to 17. So these are high school age young people. And I think my primary interest is, you know, education policy is the public policy area that most impacts young people nationwide. And it's also the area where they have the least amount of participatory voice.
Right.
So you'd be surprised at how difficult it is to get the Department of Education to think of young people as actual thought partners, believe it or not. So that's my work. The work with the young people is pretty easy. That's training them to be extraordinary, and they're already extraordinary. The work with the adults is the real work, and that's changing attitudes about what young people can actually bring to the table.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I'll say in our county, we actually have a representative on the school board that's a student, and it really is beautiful that these kids that have been in that position are really articulate about what kids need, because they know. listening to their voices is important.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the second part of that is, again, preparing the listening of adults, because young people are really always talking to us. Rather than we're actually, you know, utilizing their voice and their opinions and their suggestions in the actual policymaking practice, and implementation is the next step. So I'm really happy to hear that's happening. And my hope is that whatever this young person is bringing to the table is also being incorporated into policymaking practices.
So your job is really to educate adults.
Well, it's interesting you should say that, because the last three programs that I've developed over the last 4 years have an adult training component. So we train the young people, but we also train the adults who work with the young people so that they have a shared language and a shared leadership framework. The whole idea is adult-youth partnership, which in that arena, it's much more possible to make change as long as you have something that young people are also interested in and that adults are also interested in and they can share in the practice, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Ooh, yeah, a lot of sense.
So, do we want to move on? I could talk about youth all day, but we have more. We have more to talk about. I have two that I've grown up, and still one of them 16, so still growing. So you found it Fluid by Design, Mankind. Would you like to say something about that and what are your hopes for it?
Sure. So let me briefly tell you the story. So about a year ago, February 2014, I was listening to public radio, and I'm a public radio nerd. I listen to public radio all day, all the time. And they did a segment on public radio on Brian Lehrer's show in New York called LGBTQ, What About the B? And so they asked, what does it mean to be bisexual in the 21st century? Are you bi? Asking questions about your life and asking people to call in. And they had a young woman on the show who was talking about all the great new advantages and the great openness in society to bisexual people and how there was all this opportunity for bisexual people and openness and people were embracing the bisexual community. And as I was getting ready for work, I was thinking, that's not really my experience.
Yeah, so, what block is that on?
Exactly.
So I decided to call in, and when I called in, I talked about specifically being a man of color, being an African American man, and you know the perception of bisexual people in the black community, which is a perception of suspicion. The rates of HIV among straight women have been on the rise. And bisexual men are also often fingered as being the reason for that because we're on the down low, because we're doing our thing underground. And there's a tremendous amount. I mean, I would actually say that there's more fear of bisexual people in the black community than there are of gay people. And so I actually talked about that. And then I got off the phone and waited for the conversation to ensue. And the woman actually just brushed right over it. She said, well, you know, we're not an organization for black people or white people. You know, we're an organization for all people. And then Brian Lehrer said, well, what about what the caller talked about? And she said, yeah, I understand those problems exist, but there are really a lot of – anyway, bottom line is she brushed over it. So my sister happened to be listening to this interview, and she said, yeah, wow, she kind of just brushed over what you had to say. And I said kind of flippantly – well, if I want to have a certain kind of conversation, I'm kind of have to start it myself probably. And so with that, I took a step back and said, okay, well, before you start something, why don't you go online and see what there is? And there was nothing. I mean, there were bisexual organizations, but they were mostly run by white women, white bisexual women. And there was nothing specifically for men of color, or there was a women's group, a group for women of color called Sister that still exists, but nothing for men. So the only thing that kept coming at that was related to men was GMAG, Gay Men of African Descent. So as a bi-identified person, I have never really considered myself to be necessarily LGBTQ identified. So I wasn't involved in the community in any kind of way. So I didn't know what GMAG was or wasn't. So after I got off the phone and had this conversation with my sister and realized that I was going to have to start something, I went online to look for something, to look for an organization to join or a group to join. And I found some bisexual groups where they were mostly led by white women. And there was nothing particular for men of color. There was one group for black women called Sister, but nothing for men of color. The only thing that came up for men of color consistently was GMAD, which is Gay Men of African Descent. So I sat down, wrote a proposal. I took it to GMAD, and I told him that I wanted to start this organization and that I wanted to have a men's group that was a part of it. And that's how Mankind was started. And so we've been meeting once a month for the last year, a little over a year, initially meeting at GMAD, eventually moving from GMAD to find a neutral space that would allow for men who were uncomfortable coming to a gay-identified space to meet. And the meetings have been really, really very successful. So we have a small contingency of brothers that come out monthly here to the meetings in person. But online, we have a pretty huge following from places as far as Trinidad and England and parts of the South and way out in the West Coast who follow us online.
Fantastic.
That's great. I think that's one of the things that I see in the bisexual community in general. There's a ton of online presence, and a lot of times people that don't have organization in their town. And it's also great to have organization in your town to meet in person, and to, because you get a very different vibe when you're in person than when you're online. And it's mm-hmm. also really neat. It's really nice to have.
I think it's really crucial for us to have local
community
built.
Mm-hmm. It is.
I agree. You know, I think that one thing that I do want to point out is that Fluid by Design is the larger organization. Mm-hmm. And it has a little bit of a philosophical underpinning for me, because fluidity is just how I see the state of all natural things, period. Mankind is one offering that we have under that banner.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, hopefully, there'll be a woman's kind. There'll be a book club. Eventually, we do a run walk on there as well, because I'm a physical fitness guy, so we do some physical fitness stuff. But the whole idea of the organization is around the general health, well-being, and spiritual well-being of bi-identified people of color.
Fantastic. That's great.
Yeah.
Great. Worthwhile project.
Thank you.
You're
necessary
also
project.
Necessary, yes.
I didn't realize just how necessary, ironically, until I got into it. Like, everything that I've done with regards to Fluid by Design and Mankind has been gut. It's just been from my personal experiences and just having this feeling a long time ago when I first realized my own bisexuality, that I always thought the gay community and the straight community are way smaller than they think they are. I think the bigger community is us. And I just had a gut feeling about this. And the funny thing about this experience, this journey, is that in meeting Faith Chettleham and Chettleham and different people from BioNet and getting the data from the Williams Institute, my gut feeling has been sort of affirmed, you know, mm-hmm. in terms of the need for this and this very large silenced community of people, you know, particularly people of color who are not only dealing with the sexuality piece, but are also dealing with the white supremacy piece and, you know, all the other pieces that push you further to the margins. So I do want to say that Mankind is not necessarily a sexuality group. We use sexuality as a lens, but we actually talk about manhood, masculinity, and myth, and the intersection of race, socioeconomics, politics, gender, and sexuality, and how those things affect how we show up in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
You're awesome.
I'll just say I just got through Charles Blow's book, and he does a really good job of doing all that.
Yeah, I'm trying to get him to come out to a Mankind meeting. We actually have been reading chapters of his book, but I'm trying to get him to come out and talk about it.
That'd be great.
It would be incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It would. So you are also an artist, and paint is your preferred medium. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
I did see your piece, Michael the Archangel, and it is simply stunning.
Thank you.
Absolutely beautiful. Are you showing anywhere?
So I have a show coming up actually out your way on the West Coast. I have a show July 17th at Band of Vices, a gallery in downtown L.A. So, yes, I am still showing. And actually, my work, my kind of activism advocacy work is an extension of my art. My art has been exploring, since I got my MFA at Howard, I've been exploring manhood, masculinity, and myth. That's what I've been exploring in my work. Mm-hmm. And so my work in Fluid by Design is really just an extension of that in discussion form, you know?
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Make sure you give us those links.
I will definitely do that. Yeah.
We're gonna,
when I was at Howard, I actually had a challenging time working on this this particular work because my process is that I photograph my lovers, and then I use their bodies as the archetypes for this kind of new mythology, these new mythological creatures. And this involves full frontal nudity of men. And you would be surprised, or not, how difficult it is for men to look at other men's genitalia if they're not, like, you know, identifying as, you know, as other than straight. Like, and I say it like that because in the art world, we spend copious amounts of time looking at all kinds of nudity of women all the time. But as soon as male nudity shows up, then your work is immediately pigeonholed as being homoerotic. And so I had a difficult time actually getting an advisor for my thesis because a lot of the professors wouldn't touch the work. They wouldn't talk to me about the work because I had, you know, full erect penises in my work. Even if the work was about Eshu Alegwa, who is a deity of the Yoruba tradition, they still didn't want to fuck with it, excuse my French, because, you know, it had this male frontal nudity and I was an out bisexual male and I don't know if they thought, you know, I don't, you know.
Exactly. I don't know. I think it's something, I don't know. I'm not a man, so I don't know. I wasn't raised as a male. But are you, like, taught all your life never to look at anybody else's junk?
Of course, yeah. You know, that's why when we're standing at the urinal, you look straight forward at whatever tile is in front of you for the full duration of your piss.
If you look too long, then everybody thinks you're like, oh,
exactly.
You get yells of homo, yeah.
And I will say, I've been in D.C. 30 years, so I know a good bit about how Howard works, and it's very, very Howard University in some ways.
Oh, yes.
It's a great, it's a wonderful school, and, like, we have, like, in our county, we have a gang of politicians who are really good progressive black men that do a lot for the county, but it has its issues.
Howard University way.
So we have saved this discussion about the Pride Parade until last. How did you become chosen for the marshal, and what thoughts do you have about the reception you received?
Until a conversation that I just had today, I did not actually know how I got chosen. It was a surprise. Because when I say that I'm new to this, I mean I'm new to this. Mm-hmm. Meaning not just new to organizing, not just new to activism, new to like this community altogether. You know, I can only speak for myself, as you know, my particular way of engaging as a bisexual person has just been like an independent brother doing his thing over here. Yeah, I like dudes and I like girls, and you know, I wasn't affiliated with any particular movement or community. So all of this is very, very new to me. So when I was called by Brett Gaither and asked, you know, if you want to be, actually, Dr. Haru Kuti actually texted me and said, you know, Brett Gaither is trying to get in touch with you from, you know, Prayer to Pride. I think they want to ask you to be a Grand Marshal. And I was like, you know, who, me? Okay. So I called and they asked me and I hesitated for a minute. I wanted to think about it. The main reason is because I'm an educator, and for a good part of my career, I worked with West Indian community. And I have never been particularly out to my students or my parents because of that reason. I mean, I'm sure you know the history of you know, LGBTQ people in the West Indies. So it never dawned on me to even talk about it. But the work I do now in my organization is more strategic. I do a lot of the relationship building, the political piece, and sort of like program design and structure. So I felt that I was in a place where I could actually do that without jeopardizing any of my relationships in the community. So I have to say that I did think about that as an educator. But I think what I gather is that Faith was asked to put forth a list. Actually, let me take a step back. Last year, when they picked the grand marshals, I think it was a trans person, a lesbian, and a gay white man. And the bi community hit the roof.
We did, actually. We actually did hit the roof. We did a lot of organizing for New York around that.
Exactly. And so at the very last minute, Donna, who I had just met last year, and Paul Nacero of By Request were given an opportunity to speak at the rally. And so Fluid by Design was very, very young then. In fact, it consisted primarily of five people. Three of them are my lovers. I'm polyamorous as well, so you can throw that in a bucket. So we went down to the rally and, you know, saw this, but didn't have any context for what was actually happening. So this year, they made an effort to seek out a bi-identified grand marshal. Now, that said, when they were first trying to get in touch with me, they were on Facebook. They reached out to me in every possible way to get in touch with me to ask me if I wanted to be the grand marshal, be a grand marshal, and I accepted. Once that was said, there was a long period of silence. Now, we're mending the I think there's an effort right now to sort of mend the relationship, and, you know, I'm still grand marshaling and so forth and so on. But just yesterday, I had to actually send a pretty poignant email to Heritage and Pride because I had gotten really no information about any of it. And when I accepted, I was very clear. I have never done anything like this before. So I need information. So up until about 48 hours ago, I had no idea where to meet, where to go, what time the rally started, if I was, you know, when to speak, how long my speech is, any of that kind of information. In fact, I actually called Heritage of Pride, and my name wasn't even on the docket to speak. So once I found that out, and my organization wasn't listed as one of the participating members of the Pride March, and my press release continues to not state openly and clearly that I'm a bi-identified man. It says I'm the starter of Fluid by Design, but it doesn't say specifically I am a bisexual person, bisexual man. So what is the reception? I think that I'll give them the benefit of the doubt and say I think they're doing the best they can given the circumstances. But I think that what has played out in the last couple of months is pretty well aligned with the notion of bi erasure, the marginalizing of bi voices. You know, this idea that we want you to participate, but we haven't given you all the information to participate fully. So, you know, that brings the question, particularly with the understanding and history that I have as a black person, do you really want me to participate since you haven't even given me the information? Now, that said, Faith and Afia and different people who are kind of my mentors in this have all pulled together, and we're pulling it together, and now Heritage of Pride is responsive and emailing me every 2 seconds. But in my letter I had to say, you know, I have an interview. I have two interviews this week, you know, one with Bicast and one with NBC Television. So, you know, I used all of my political savvy, but the basis of the letter was you need to get your shit together because I really don't want to have to go on television and say they don't give a damn about bisexual people. So, that's what's been going on. I mean, but I do have to say that I understand the history. I understand exactly who Brenda Howard was. I understand even beyond just the fact that she was the bi-identified woman who was initial organizer of the march. She was also an activist working in the community way before that, and a communist, and and involved in the liberation movement that was happening at that time, period. So
exactly
what
I'm
plugging into, I'm looking past all the initial bullshit today and the co-opting of this movement and kind of reaching back to plug into the notion of liberation that was really initiated by the peer kids and the drag queens who were fed the fuck up. And I may be co-opted now by, you know, what I call the Will and Grace Pete folks, but I kind of plug into the people who initially decided to resist and were the, you know, to me, the impetus of this movement.
Yes. Excellent. Excellent.
Well, I just think about young kids coming from Jersey to the village these days and how they are treated some Friday and Saturday nights.
Mm-hmm.
And that is by another part of the same supposed community, right? Mm-hmm. So I get it.
Yeah. You know, what's really interesting is that this may sound a little like, you know, corny, I guess, but like I was just saying to my girlfriend the other day that, you know, everything that I've done and a lot of it I've kind of fallen into has kind of led to this moment. So I was doing integrated arts programs at Hetrick Martin in 2000. So the first time I ever set foot into the space, you know, I was in a space that was created for these homeless youth who are homeless because their families could not embrace who they were and had kicked them to the streets and all this other kind of stuff, you know, and my girlfriend at the time wanted me to teach there because her thoughts were like, you know, they need to see multiplicity. They need to see multiple examples of what it means to be non-monosexual. And so that's kind of, in its own weird way, been sort of my path without me even picking the path directly, if that makes any sense.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it does. It's, you know, it's how we're chosen.
Yeah. Sorry I'm going to miss that parade. I am way too far away from it, but it should be pretty awesome.
I have to say that I saw this in the script. I've been admonished to never refer to it as a parade. It is a
all
march.
Right.
For liberation.
In March.
Now, I have made the argument, well, you have floats. Martin Luther King didn't have any floats on the March on Washington, but
that's true.
They have insisted that it is a march, so it is the march.
All right, so it is the march.
I will tell you, in D.C., it is definitely the parade. It's it's actually the J.W. Marriott Capital Pride Parade. And I always put an ink after it.
Just oh, my God.
Sure know. And you know what? So many of the floats are big multinational corporations up front.
Mm-hmm.
And us actual grassroots activists are in the back.
Yep.
They actually,
and that's just how it is.
This year they actually did this alphabetically, so it was a little better interspersing. So I don't know if they did it like that. Last year it seemed like they had all of the conglomerates up front and all the little guys in the back, but it was pretty spaced out here.
Well, yeah. That's nice. We have, you know, in D.C., we have 150,000 people watching our parade.
Well, that's
I'm sure in New York you probably got probably even bigger numbers.
Yeah.
But it is you know, it is so much money in, you know, in sponsorships and all for the whole week. And, you know, it's like you have to be there because you have to show up. You have to, you know, I feel it's bisexual. We have to represent. We have to have a table because by having a table at the festival, we're the spot where all the bisexuals come and they always do. And, you know, and I always say that there's always kids that are dragging their friend to our booth because they know they need to be at our booth. That's why you go.
Well, you know, there's another piece to it as well, and I think it's that, you know, I'm very interested in making sure that we're sitting at the tables where the funding decisions are being made. You know, so there are people with lots of money who are coming to party in New York for Pride, and, you know, I let the organizers know that I want to be at everything because I figure if I'm not there, then who else is going to be there talking about, you know, the needs and the issues concerning the bisexual community. It's not like there's going to be a whole bunch of other folks there. So I think it's really important that, you know, there's the big parties and there's the big pier dance and so forth and so on. But I'm trying to be at the cocktail parties where they're talking about how they're going, the agenda of the LGBTQ community moving forward. That's the table we need to be at.
Exactly. Use that position for its worth, its value, and it has value. And, you know, and of course, you know that you're going to be at the table and you need to also be a diner at that table.
Absolutely.
All righty.
Okay. All links will be provided on the website.
Okay. And is there anything else you'd like to add, Dave?
I just want to add that, you know, despite the drama that has taken place, we're going to have a great experience. The bi contingency and community is pulling together. You know, when I sent my letter, I made sure to CC everybody. So everybody, and I think so the strategy behind that was not to like tell on anybody or like be gossiping, but just to let every folks know that we really don't want this to be a tokenizing experience. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that we are present and that we are on the same page and that, you know, we are highly visible and that it can't be a situation next year where it's like, oh, we couldn't find anybody or any of that other kind of stuff. I mean, it's like, I think it's going to be a great experience, and I'm looking forward to doing the very best I can to represent our voices and our community, you know, authentically.
So everybody get out there and, you know, if you can, be out and proud and waving your little flags, then let's participate, okay?
That's right. Come on out. Come to the rally. That's June 26th from 6 to 11. At the pier, just at the end of Christopher Street. And then, of course, the march is Sunday, June 28th, all day. But it usually starts around 10 or 11 o'clock if they get started on time. And I also want to put a plug in for Fluid by Design. We have a happy hour this Thursday, the 25th, in Harlem at the XYZ Lounge in the Aloft Hotel. So come have a drink with Fluid by Design and Buy Us TV in celebration of Pride.
Oh, cool.
ISTV is going to be there. Yay!
Yeah, that's great. We interviewed them last year.
We love right. those boys. We love David those. We Cork. Love all of them.
We love that yeah. show.
Yeah, David J. Cork is on. He's on my strategy team, so we partner a lot.
So, David, hi right. from us.
Yes. And you know what? I will just say, closing up, that it's great that when you got sent in to be, you know, the marshal, that there's a whole lot of deputies behind you.
Yes.
Making sure that the marshals got backup. And
yes.
that sounds exactly like what happened.
It is. And one thing that I want to add that I've been very careful about, is, I mean, I'm extremely deferential, you know, like I'm the new kid on the block, and there are a lot of people who have been working a long time and fighting a long time and petitioning a long time to get this moment of recognition. So I'm very clear that I'm not out there for me. I'm not even out there for Fluid by Design. I'm out here for Brenda Howard and for Larry and for countless other folks who have been, you know, standing right beside all the rest of the gay and lesbian population in this struggle. That's what I'm there for.
Awesome.
Right. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I just want to take a moment to remember March 23rd, we had some events happen that have shook our community quite severely.
Yes.
This is June 23rd. We want to remember Adam
yes.
and the others and just take a moment of silence, please. Thank you very much. I want to remind everyone, you are not wrong, you're not broken, and you are not alone. You are a human being, and you are bisexual.
Bye.
Thank you. Happy
Thank
Pride,
you.
Everybody.
Happy Pride. I can't wait to see the pictures
Pride.
And everything.
Well, I'm glad you used the T word, because the word token was just like getting bigger and bigger in my thought bubble the whole time you're going through this.
Yeah, I know it. Token all over the place. It's just like, oh. We'll be right back. The views expressed on the Bicast do not necessarily represent those of Binet USA or the Bicast crew.